Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. On Tuesday, 2 days ago, Twitter slapped a warning label on all tweets from National Public Radio. Going forward, NPR will be identified for users of Elon Musk's social media site as, quote, state-affiliated media. That is the same category as Russia Today or China Central Television. It means that NPR is not that different from the Tehran Times, with the exception, of course, being less accurate and more anti-American. So that happened on Tuesday. Why are we telling you about it? With all the momentous changes underway around the world, why would we open a show with a story about Twitter recategorizing NPR as state media? Well, because it's true. That's the reason. Finally, thankfully, somebody in authority has told the truth about something, and that is thrilling to see on its own terms. In a world defined by lies from our leaders, this seemed like a rare sign of hope and progress. Telling the truth is the most revolutionary act of all, far more than taking up arms. And yet, you rarely see it. Human beings created language in order to describe the world around them more precisely than they could with, say, grunting or sign language. But unfortunately, we have been subverting our own creation ever since. But not tonight. By calling National Public Radio what it is, Elon Musk has used English as it was intended to be used in order to tell the truth. Of course, NPR is state media. Have you listened to it? It has all the hallmarks: repetitive dishonesty, authoritarian politics, unwavering devotion to the party in charge. Of course, that could describe virtually all media in this country. The difference is the state actually pays for NPR. NPR was created more than 50 years ago by a law signed by Democrat Lyndon Johnson. It was called the Public Broadcasting Act. And from its very first day, NPR was wholly dependent on tax dollars in order to exist. And it still is. Federal funding is essential to NPR, explains NPR's own website. So there's no factual debate about that fact, but there is a great deal of lying about it. Every year, NPR lobbyists head to Capitol Hill to demand more tax dollars. Democracy can't exist without us, they screech, while simultaneously at the very same time telling you at high volume that NPR takes virtually no tax money. So we don't need federal subsidies, don't even want them, really, but you have to increase them. That is NPR's line, and has been for decades, under the political leadership of both parties. And it's essentially unchallenged by anyone. It just stays. Wars and recessions come and go, but NPR funding remains. But after more than half a century, it is very clear that there's nothing public about National Public Radio. NPR is the radio station of permanent Washington. That's who pays for it. That's who benefits from it. By adding three simple words to NPR's tweets, Elon Musk exposed that forever to the world. Such is the power of truth. It exposes, and of course, it infuriates those who are exposed. So NPR howled in outrage, but with its signature pursed-lipped fussiness. Here's a direct quote from a piece on NPR's website, which really does belong in the Museum of Uptight Liberalism. Quote, NPR officials have asked Twitter to remove the label. They initially assumed it was applied by mistake, NPR spokesperson Isabel Lara said. We were not warned. It happened quite suddenly last night, Lara said. In response to an NPR email for the story seeking comment and requesting details about what in particular might have led to the new designation, Twitter's press account auto-replied with a poop emoji. Well, it's just so perfect you couldn't improve it. Hey, Twitter, stop calling us what we are. Okay, NPR, here's a scat cartoon. So you can forget the rockets and the electric cars. Elon Musk is a hero for this alone. But NPR wasn't finished. It still had fight. National Public Radio was so angry, so enraged to be called state media, that its supporters enlisted the help of the regime's top spokeswoman to claim otherwise. Stop calling it propaganda, said the propagandist. Again, it's an irony-free zone and just too great. Watch this.
There's no doubt of the independence of NPR's journalists. And it has been, if you've ever been on the receiving end of their questions, you know this. You know that they have their independence in journalism. NPR journalists work digitally to hold public officials accountable and inform the American people. The hard-hitting independence nature of their coverage speaks for itself. And so I'll leave it there.
That is so Baghdad Bob. It's unbelievable. Here she is reading a press release for NPR that tells us they're famous for hard-hitting independence, which speaks for itself. Really? How many tough questions have they asked you, Karine Jean-Pierre? Not a single one. They're fluffing her every day. She's so smart. And so she pays them back. Hard-hitting independence. This is the same radio station that in the final days of the last presidential campaign took a look at the biggest political story in years, the New York Post story on Hunter Biden's laptop, and then ignored it completely. And not only ignored it completely, but because they are fussy and self-righteous to their very core, they bragged about how they were ignoring it completely. "We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories," said NPR's managing editor, Terrence Samuel. "And we don't want to waste listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions." All right. 2 weeks before our presidential campaign, we find out that the Democratic candidate has been taking money from a foreign adversary, but that's just a distraction. So whatever happened to Terrence Samuel? What did he get in return for helping Joe Biden become president at the state-affiliated media network he serves? Well, Terrence Samuel has since been promoted to NPR's executive editor, but he still has time to spare because it's not that hard to put Morning Sedition on the air. So you know what he does in his spare time? Terrence Samuel hosts seminars on, we're quoting, disinformation and democracy. It's something called American University. And no, we're not making any of this up. Nor are we fabricating NPR's report from just last month that informed us male athletes have no inherent performance advantages over female athletes. None at all. That is a fact, ladies and gentlemen. Men and women are physically the same size. They have the same muscle mass. There is no difference whatsoever in their bone structure. We checked with experts. So, as you know, NPR is famous for its widely respected science coverage. But that's not the only reason that NPR is now the go-to news source for unhappy female attorneys over 50. No, there's more to it than that. They're the lifestyle pieces, the features, as they used to say in the newspaper business. Here's a piece, for example, on how one African-American Barbie doll, ahead of its time in the toy industry, changed the life of a Latinx girl forever.
I remember this one Christmas, my cousin's father gifted us all Barbies. And when everyone was unwrapping, you know, the excitement, el papel, the paper, and I opened up the Barbie and my Barbie was black, you know? And everyone kind of like looked at my Barbie and I looked at their Barbies and I could kind of like identify to their Barbies too. And I wasn't this kind of like as melanated as this Barbie. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am different.
Unhappy middle-aged ladies talking about themselves. The narcissism piped directly into your Audi. That's NPR. You got to say they know their audience. They don't only serve their audience, they put their audience on the air. So it's kind of a continuous loop, the snake eating its own tail. So you probably shouldn't be too surprised that with an audience like its, desperately unhappy, barren personal life audience, that NPR is all in on the question of romance novels. Watch.
I'm like really big in the sci-fi ones. One of the books was a gay couple and one of them was a Kraken. And I didn't want that to unlock something in me. Unfortunately, it did.
Before I knew what was happening, Cyrus was carrying me, the muscular links of his tentacles supporting our combined weight and shuffling us towards the stall without breaking our kiss. I knew he was strong, but I didn't think he was that strong. "You like that, Roland?" he asked, as his tentacles slammed the door to the shower stall open and we stumbled inside.
Well, so it's tentacle porn. Okay, yeah, I mean, technically it is tentacle porn, which is its own subgenre, and we're not going to pollute your mind by telling you any more about it than that. But what it really is narcissism, because here you have an upper-income Oberlin graduate talking about, what would he be talking about? Well, himself, of course, because that's what NPR listeners want to hear about themselves. And that's the real journalism, the hard-hitting independent journalism Karine Jean-Pierre was touting from the White House briefing room. And NPR didn't just start doing it after they got Joe Biden elected. They've been doing it for generations. Their health coverage in particular stands out. Any news organization can run a piece on how to be more healthy, but only NPR dared to affirm the snack habits of its listeners by telling you, yeah, go ahead and be fat. Here's an anti-diet dietitian.
So diet culture is this overarching system of beliefs and values that's really endemic to Western culture at this point in history.
Christy Harrison is an anti-diet registered dietitian with a master's in public health.
We've been trying to get Christy Harrison, the anti-diet dietitian, on our show for years now, but we're not NPR, so no luck so far. But if you're looking for coverage of LGBTQIA Z plus issues, well, you've come to the right place. Because it's not just the conventional stuff, gay marriage or trans issues, they've taken it to another level, as befits a cutting-edge, totally independent news channel like National Public Radio. Here they are reporting on trans dinosaur experts.
Many people who are queer, whether they are trans or some other form of genderqueer or whatever it is, we love dinosaurs.
Along with being a dinosaur expert, Riley is herself transgender. And according to Riley, there is a whole community of genderqueer dinosaur enthusiasts online. We had no idea, so we checked it out. Sure enough, they're there. We found dozens of paleo artists online that identify as queer.
Type dinosaur into the LGBT subreddit, hundreds of results, with pride dinos, rainbow dinos, dino moms, dino dads, and a lot of puns. Like Allysaurus.
Transceratops.
Transceratops. Transosaurus rex. Now, a lot of people say if the topic of NPR comes up in conversation, yeah, I'm all for National Public Radio and I'm happy to work an extra day a year to pay for it. But I'm not a trans dinosaur. I'm not. So what's in it for me as a non-trans dinosaur? That seems a little niche. And that's a common misperception about National Public Radio. As long as you're talking about yourself and doing so in a self-satisfied, completely out-of-touch way, NPR is the station for you. In other words, they're interested in all forms of diversity. Back in 2021, NPR discovered a trendy new television show. Why'd they like it? Well, here's why.
Well, Kumari, what TV show were you binging this year?
I was watching We Are Lady Parts. It's a musical comedy about a punk band in London that is made up of all Muslim women.
What are you watching? That's the hard-hitting news coverage that makes the difference between democracy and tyranny. What are you watching? Self-satisfied, fussy people with nose piercings talking about what they're watching inside their tiny little apartments in Brooklyn. Well, I'm watching a musical, an all-Muslim trans musical, a punk band. It's great. So that's NPR in 2023. And the truth is NPR's always been kind of awful, kind of unbearable, kind of cringy, as they say. But now, you can't even listen to it because the people who work there are deranged. They're ideologues. And ideologues, of course, in the end, go crazy and start attacking each other. The revolution inevitably eats its own. And we're seeing that on display now and, frankly, kind of enjoying it. So after NPR laid off 10% of its staff recently, one NPR show called Louder Than a Riot, Louder Than a Riot, they love riots at NPR, tweeted this, and we're quoting, "The hardest part is that our SZN, S-Z-N, if you're not Hungarian, you probably know what that means. We certainly don't. Our S-Z-N is about misgenoir queer trans black women face in hip hop. Yet within NPR, the majority impacted in these layoffs were queer POC staff and programs." In other words, racist! By the way, Ms. Genoir, in case you aren't up on your NPR speak, has something to do with bigotry against women who are black. Not that NPR bothers to define any of those terms. Anyway, it gets better, because once you put crazy people in charge of your newsroom, well, crazy things happen. So they tried to call an all-hands meeting to explain why people were being fired. The real reason, of course, is no one wants to listen to this crap. But an NPR executive had to get out there and try to speak slowly and tell these people why they were fired. And people start screaming at him. So he called for civility. And then one employee said, You need to read this piece. Quote, when civility is used as a cudgel against people of color. That's NPR, ladies and gentlemen, on the inside. NPR, by the way, we told you at the outset, is now officially state media. And honestly, that tells you a lot about the state.